Mishnah Yomis for Friday, the 11th day of Kislev Tovshin Pei Dalad. Masechta Yevamos Perek Tashii Mishnah Base. Ve'ilu mutaras liyiv men, vasos avalein. The following women are permitted to their brother-in-law, the surviving brother, but they were prohibited to the husbands. They should never have been married to the husbands. But nevertheless, they're permitted to the Yovam. Kohen Gadol shekiddush es almanah. If a Kohen Gadol gave kiddushin, did not live with her yet, but he gave a kiddushin. V'yesh la'ach kohen hadyet, and he dies leaving a brother that is a ordinary kohen. So this almanah, this widow, is allowed to be married, allowed to have yibum with the kohen hadyet, the surviving brother. But she was also to the kohen who married the Kohen Gadol, her husband. Again, this is only if he was Mekadisha. If he actually lived, if the Kohen Gadol lived with her, then she and then died, she would be forbidden even to an ordinary Kohen, because then she becomes a Chalola. She becomes unfit for any Kohen to marry if she lived with a Kohen. Kosher. What happens if a Kohen was a Kohen that was kosher? He was perfectly all right, but Shenosa Chalola. He marries a Chalola, which he's not allowed to do. V'yeshla a Chalola. And his brother's a Chola. Well, she was permitted to have Yibum. She is permitted to have Yibum to the brother-in-law, but obviously she was also to the first husband. Yisrael shenasa mamzeres, which cannot be done. An ordinary Yisrael cannot marry a mamzeres. But he died leaving behind a brother who is a mamzer, v'yesh lach mamzer. And a mamzer is allowed to marry a mamzeres. That's another case. Mamzer shenasa bas Yisrael. If you have a mamzer who married an ordinary Jewish girl, which he was not allowed to do, it's also, and he dies leaving a brother who is Yisrael, who she's allowed to marry him. That's another case where also to the husband, but mutter to the yibum, to the ovum. All these cases are mutaris liyiv mehen v'asur slavalein. All of these women are permitted to the surviving brother, to the yovum, to the brother-in-law, to do the mitzvah of yibum, but they were prohibited in the first place to the husband. Asuras la'elo v'la'elo. Then we have women who were forbidden to the husband. They should never have been married to that husband. And they're also forbidden to the yavam if the husband dies. Kohen gadol shenoses almana. If a kohen gadol married an almana, v'yesh le'ach kohen gadol, he's got a brother who is a kohen gadol, or a kohen hadid, or even an ordinary kohen for that matter. Because now, since the kohen gadol married the almana, not just kiddushin, but he consummated the marriage, he lived with her, now she becomes a chalala, and she's unfit for any kohen, whether it's a kohen hadid or a kohen gadol. Kosher, a kohen who was kosher, shenasa chalala, who married a chalala, which he was not allowed to do, absolutely forbidden, and he dies living a brother who is a kosher as well, who's a kosher, vishlach kosher. He's got a kohen, a brother for a kohen who was also kosher, but was not allowed to marry. He can't do yibum. So she's also to both. She was also to the first husband, also to the other. Or Yisrael shenasa mamzeres, under prohibited circumstance. Yisrael cannot marry a mamzeres. V'yesh la'ach Yisrael, and he dies leaving a brother who's a Yisrael. He can't do yibum either to mamzeres. Mamzer shenasa bas Yisrael, which was prohibited. A mamzer cannot marry a girl, an ordinary Jewish girl. V'yesh la'ach mamzer, and he's got a brother who's a mamzer. Again, she would be, if he dies, if the husband dies, then his brother cannot do yibum. She's also, all these cases are suros lo'elu v'la'elu. In all these cases, the women are prohibited to these and these. Prohibited to their husbands, and they're prohibited to the yovah when the husband dies. U'sh'or kol anoshim mutaris l'va'aleinu livmeh. But ordinary cases, other women, all other women, are permitted to the husbands and to the yovah. The Gemara explains that it's not exactly accurate. The Gemara Mishnah doesn't really mean literally all other cases are women permitted to the husbands and to the yavam. Because there are, in fact, other cases that our Mishnah doesn't mention, where they could be permitted to the husbands and prohibited to the yavam. For example, if the yavam happened to have a tzedakah, have a condition where he's crushed testicles, where he's not allowed to marry a Jewish girl, or the 15 women that we mentioned at the beginning of our Masechta, that long, long, long Mishnah, which counted all the 15 Arois, the 15 prohibited relations, if they were a Yavam, if they were a brother-in-law. There are all these cases where you have where you have the other women, they'll be permitted to the husband, but they're also to the yovel. And if the husband is a tzedakah, you'll have a case where she was also to the husband and mutter the yovel. So basically, our Mishnah is not comprehensive, not giving an absolute comprehensive list. Mishnah Gimel. Shniyos medibrei sofrim. Women that are prohibited as a second degree relative. Second degree relative, and they're only prohibited for midrabbanon. They're not allowed to get married to the husbands, but they are called shniyos la'arois, second degree incestuous relation. Grandmother, for example. Torah doesn't prohibit it, the rabbis did. Daughter-in-law of one son. Again, prohibited by the rabbis, but not Mother Torah. Shniya Labal, says the Mishnah. Now, what about these women? There are midrabbanon asur. If you have a case, Shniya Labal, second degree for the husband, but no lo shniya le'ofen, but there may not be second degree for the yofen. For example, the woman might be the grandmother of the husband. The husband married his grandmother. Prohibited. Disgusting, it sounds like, but prohibited midrabbanon. But she may not be the grandmother of the yofen. For example, they may be half-brothers. Brothers only on the father's side, not on the mother's side. Which means that the Yavam is perfectly able to marry the grandmother of his brother. Because his brother's grandmother is not his grandmother. They're only brothers on the father. Asura Labal, Umateras Liyavam. So such a case, she was prohibited to the husband initially. She should never be married to him. But when the husband dies without children, she's permitted to the Yavam, to the brother-in-law. Shniya Liyavam. Then you have the opposite case. She was a second degree arose to the Yavam, to the surviving brother, but not to the husband. So Asura Yavam, she'll be prohibited to the Yavam, Pumatas Labal, and permitted, but she was permitted to the husband. But what would happen in such a case is, even though she's also to the Yavam, because it's only Midrabonon, to get rid of the Zika, to get rid of that connection, she'll need a Chalitza. And that's what we mentioned that earlier on in our Masechta. It's one of those classic cases where she needs chalitza and cannot do yibum. Then you have a shniya lazev lazev. You have a case where she is second degree relative of the husband. She was prohibited to be married, midrabanan. And also second degree a relative to the yavam. She can't have yibum. Asura lazev lazev. She's also in that case to both the husband and to the yavam. Again, she will need chalitza from the yavam because minat Torah they're not related. In all these cases, now the Mishnah says, what happens if a person disobeys the words of the chachamim and goes out and he marries? He says, I couldn't care. I'm going to marry. It's only osam rabbanon. Such a woman loses the rights to her ksuba. Ain la l'ksuba v'lo peres. She will not get a ksuba, nor will she get the peres back compensation. What does that mean? Normally, there's an obligation when a person dies, leaving a married widow. So from the estate, they pay out the ksuba to the husband, to the wife. Or if he divorces her, pays out a ksuba. But this woman who was also to her husband, she should never be married to her husband. She gets penalized, and she will not get that ksuba. Now, what does peres mean? She won't get the fruits. That means normally, a husband is allowed to eat the fruits from her property, called nechseh meluk. But the rights that he has to that are a compensation, if you like, for the fact that he is obligated to pay a ransom for her if she's captured. He's chayv to be poy to her. So therefore, in a case where he's not chayv to poy to her, where he shouldn't have been married to her in the first place, he shouldn't be able to eat the fruits. And if he did, maybe he should compensate it, says the Mishnah now. She will not get compensation. She will not get the fruits back. That's how Rashi learns about Tanura. There are other ways of learning what peres means. V'lo mezonos, nor is he chayv to pay maintenance. Not while he's alive, nor after death. V'lo belois, nor does he have to make up for clothes that have become all worn out. Let's say the husband used the properties until some of the properties or the clothes or whatever until they're worn out. He's not chayv to pay the money, pay the value. Why? And we don't say, oh, well, he doesn't get the ksuba. She doesn't get the ksuba. Since she doesn't get the ksuba, maybe he has to compensate her for demei belois, for the clothes that wore out. No. Again, the chachamim came down very hard on her that she will lose all these rights. She can take what's left from these properties, but that's it. that no compensation for wear and tear. However, v'havlad kosher, the vlad is kosher. The child will be kosher even for kohanim, because there was no issur min ha'Torah. V'koifin ha'issur lo'yitzei, and we will force him to divorce her, notwithstanding the fact that the issur was mirabbanan. However, concludes the Mishnah, almona l'chein gadol, but an almona who got married to a kohen gadol under prohibited circumstances, or a case of grusha v'chalutza l'chein hedyet, a grusha v'chalutza got married to an ordinary kohen, or a mamzerasin asin l'Yisrael, which were they prohibited, or a bas Yisrael married to a lanosin v'la mamzer, in all these cases, yesh lein ksuba, the wife will get a ksuba, and all other things that we mentioned before, the fruits, the maintenance, the blois, they will get those rights. And what's the reason? You would think, well, this is even worse. She committed an issur midirat min ha'Torah. The answer there is, the Gemara gives is, because these isurim are min ha'Torah, because they're so strict, they're biblically, therefore we have a rule, divrei Torah einam tzrichim chizuk. Things that are awesome in Torah don't need reinforcements. The rabbis don't have to reinforce that. It's awesome in Torah. But it's things which are prohibited only mirabbanan, that people tend to trample on these sometimes, that they need chizuk. They need chizuk. And that's why the rabbanan came down very hard. And they said, no, we're not sure she will lose these rights and these rights and these rights because she was over this issur midrabbanan. Now, the truth is that amongst the last cases that we mentioned in the Mishnah is an issur drabonon, the chalutza to a kohen hedyot. The prohibition of a kohen, an ordinary kohen marrying a chalutza, a lady about chalutza, is only midrabonon. Nevertheless, the chachamim treated it with the same severity, put it on the same status as a grusha. And therefore, indeed, that will be a case where she will not lose the rights, because it's considered... It's also considered serious enough, even though technically it's mirabbanan. That's how some learn. Others learn that really the echalutza will be the same as a shniyah, and she will lose all the rights to ksuba, etc. But why does the Mishnah put it together with the others? That's because the Tana of the Mishnah usually puts chalutza together with grusha. Often you'll see that together. Grusha and chalutza, they're both prohibited to an ordinary kohen. That's why they put them together.